Hi, and welcome to Travel Time. Today we're talking about Birmingham, Alabama, and the Birmingham Civil Rights National Monument specifically. My son and I visited Birmingham primarily because he had qualified for a race in the area, but while there, we visited the Birmingham Civil Rights Museum. When we do short trips due to sports or other competitions, we always try to find things in the area to do in the downtime that allow us to learn a little bit about the culture or history of the area. In Birmingham, we wanted to take the time to visit historically important sites and learn more about the civil rights movement in the U.S. beyond what he and I had learned in school and on other trips. The Birmingham Civil Rights Museum is an amazing museum, really so well executed. My son was about 14 when we visited and commented after that he really felt like the museum gave him a much better understanding of not just the events that happened through our history, but also a better understanding of the disparity during the height of the civil rights movement in the 60s, as well as what people are talking about when they talk about systemic racism. The first part we went through had very tangible visualizations of the gaps, from something simple and straightforward like a water fountain for whites that was refrigerated and modern, next to a water fountain for blacks that was simple and not refrigerated, to things like a stack of white books showing how many white students per white teacher's classroom next to a stack of brown books showing how many black students per black teacher's classroom to illustrate one of the ways separate was not equal. The exhibits throughout this section were very well done and really helped illustrate tangibly the issues and inequalities of the time in a very meaningful way. Another side-by-side that was very impactful was a side-by-side view of a white classroom versus the black school's classroom. And as a current school-age kid, this particularly hit home for my son. The exhibits in later rooms illustrated issues and gradual progress in the courts, as well as threats from the Klan and vigilante group. The replica of the Birmingham jail cell where Martin Luther King Jr. was held, and the letter he wrote while in there was also very impactful. What I also loved about this museum is that the focus is not just what have we done wrong in the past, but also how do we move forward towards better harmony. Tickets are available online for this museum and are timed entry. Advanced online tickets are required because of the timed entry system that keeps the crowd spread out in the museum. Adults are $15 each, and students, seniors, and kids are $13, with under four being free. As we left the Civil Rights Institute, we spent some time in front of the 16th Street Baptist Church, which was bombed just before 11 o'clock, September 15, 1963, during Sunday services by the Ku Klux Klan. The bombing killed four girls. At the time of the bombing, five young girls, two of which were sisters in the basement of the church, in the ladies' room. As the bomb exploded, parishioners sought safety under the pews and shielded each other. In the basement, four of the girls were killed. 14-year-old Addie McCollins, Denise McNair, Carol Robertson, and 11-year-old Cynthia Wesley. Addie's sister Sarah survived but lost her right eye. We could not go in, but we spent some time paying respects to those who were killed and discussing how the bombing drew attention from all over the nation and internationally to the violence and drove outrage by many whites as well as blacks. The girls' funeral was attended by over 8,000 people. This church was the one selected for the bombing largely because it was a main gathering place for the city's African-American community. In addition to church services, it was seen as headquarters for the civil rights movement in the early 1960s. Birmingham at the time was the most segregated city in the USA, and the church had come to be a focal point of white hostility towards the civil rights movement in Birmingham. Although the FBI office in Birmingham launched an immediate investigation, and by 1965 there were four primary suspects, all of which were members of one of the most violent groups in the South, Klan Chapter Number 13, which was also responsible for the 1961 attacks on the Freedom Riders. In 1968, the investigation for the bombing ended with no indictments. In 1971, it was reopened and led to Robert Chambliss being convicted of murder in 1977. In 2000, the FBI worked with Alabama state authorities to bring charges against the remaining suspect. In 2001, Thomas Blanton was convicted and sentenced to life. In 2002, Bobby Frank Cherry was convicted. He had boasted that he was the one who planted the bomb, which helped send him to prison for life. Herman Cash died in 1994, never having been prosecuted. Our next stop was Kelly Ingram Park. In May 1863, Birmingham police and firemen attacked demonstrators in favor of civil rights, many of whom were children, here in this park. When the police arrested many of the adult demonstrators, the city's children joined the protests. 600 children were arrested, some as young as six. By the next day, 1,000 children were arrested. In the following days, police sprayed the protesters with high-pressure fire hoses. Police used nightsticks and canine units, turned their dogs into crowds of peaceful protesters, and severely wounded three teenagers. In the aftermath of these events, JFK ordered 3,000 army troops to the outskirts of the city. Local businesses began removing their white-only signs, and a newly elected mayor repealed the city's Jim Crow laws and eventually desegregated other public buildings, including schools. The park now has statues reminding us of the canine attacks, the fire hoses, and the nightstick use, which were incredibly powerful. Visiting the park is a very moving and sobering experience. We were both very glad we were able to learn more about the events and see the statues. There are some other sites within the National Monument that we didn't have time to get to, including the Gaston Motel, the Masonic Temple Building, and two other key churches. I highly recommend visiting this National Monument. All of the sites we visited were moving, powerful, and gave us so much context and depth of understanding, particularly to events that happened before either of us were born. I'm so glad I took my son there. My only regret was that my other son wasn't in town with us to experience it. Thanks for joining me today, and until next time, happy travels.